Hour number two, Out of Bounds. William Plogamus, Ben Milstead with you. I want to tell you about our friends at Buff City Soap. Once again, as per our usual arrangement, we needed some communication from Buff City Soap today, and they delivered. Today only, here's a great deal for the people. 4 for $20 soap bars, bath bombs, truffles, and shower fizzies in-store and online. That means you can go to the website, BuffCitySoap.com, and order it there. Or you can go into either of their upstate locations, the Shops at Greenwich in Greenville or the Hartwell Village Shopping Center in Clemson. Again, that's 4 for $20 just today. Soap bars, bath bombs, truffles, and shower fizzies, all of which are terrific.
You know, one of my bucket list items is to be able to walk into a store and order something with the name Fizzies in it. That's fantastic.
You know, you can check that off today, my friend.
I could.
And you
I
get
could.
A great deal. 4 for $20
Excuse
is a great
me,
deal.
Could you point me to the Fizzies section?
It's like Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
They're awesome.
Go to one of those Buff City Soap locations. You'll be glad you did that.
All right. So one thing that I think started all this nonsense, and by the way, we would like to thank the Press Box for this first hour of programming.
Oh, yeah. Make our job way easier today.
Fantastic. Is Brian Ferentz, brother of Kirk Ferentz, the head coach of Iowa. He's also the offensive coordinator. He just, now correct me on this, or tell me which is correct. He restructured his deal or signed his contract? I think they restructured his contract and the wording in it.
Yes, it is. From my understanding, it is a restructuring of the contract here. It's an amendment, so to speak.
Yeah, and we restructure because it was either that or my guess is the school saying, okay, he's either got to do something contractually or you've got to fire him. Is that your read on the situation?
Yes. I would say in a nutshell, that's the read.
Now, if you are a fan of bad offense, then you would have loved Iowa this past year. They were dreadful. So in order to keep him, though, I just find this fascinating and also a bit insulting if you're Iowa. For him to keep his job after this year, then he's got to reach a couple of different milestones. One is that he's got to, because if he doesn't, his contract is automatically voided in 2024, is my read on it. One is that they have to average 25 points a game. Quok, where would 25 points a game put Iowa?
83rd in the country, I believe. Among his peers in the Big Ten, it would put them 8th out of 14. So you're not even really going for upper half. You're going for top of lower half of your league. By the way, offenses that averaged more than 25 a game last year included Wisconsin. So that's what we're talking about. We're not even talking about a minimal standard here.
All right, so let's just unpack this one for a minute. Now, by the way, the 25 points a game, that doesn't include 25 points scored by your offense. That also includes 25 points scored by your defense and special teams. It's just an average. And what they're saying is just don't suck as bad as you did. You don't have to be a top 40 offense. We just need you to be, you know, a top 80 offense. Is that too much to ask? No.
Arkansas State averaged 25 a game. I said 83rd. It would be 85th. Arkansas State averaged exactly 25 a game last year. By the way, going 3-9 in the process under Butch Jones's leadership. That would be slightly above noted juggernauts Missouri, Auburn, Vanderbilt, Marshall, Charlotte, Michigan State, UTEP, NC State, Illinois, Cal, and slightly below noted juggernauts Rice, Southern Miss, shout out to Frank Gore Jr., New Mexico State, Troy, Arizona State. Like, there are schools that fired their OC that finished significantly higher than that.
This particular one fascinates me in that your team, your offensive players know what is at stake for you because, again, the language is his contract officially terminates on June 30th, 2024 if you don't meet two things. The other one is a number of wins, and we'll get to that in a minute. I would say that is a 25 points a game is a bigger challenge than the number of wins. So I'm looking at their schedule clock, and I'm thinking, okay, what games, like, you open with Utah State. They were a bowl team. They're not terrible. And I just a brief look at what they did this year. They went 6-7 with a bowl loss to Memphis. I didn't look at the official stats. I'm just kind of glancing over their wins and losses, though. They look to be they're probably a halfway decent defense. You know, they're probably not world beaters, but
3-3-5 action.
So what I'm looking for is that game that you can skew the number, where you would normally play Utah State and you're thinking, okay, I'm pulling, you know, we're going to be up 21-7 going into the fourth quarter, 21-3. I'm gonna put the young guys in. This is our opener. This is a tune-up. Quack. Kirk Ferentz and his brother can't afford to do that next year now. They have to score points in every opportunity they can, because even against the likes of Utah State and Western Michigan, another non-conference that you hope that you're going to score points in, but I don't know. Because you look at their regular schedule and their Big Ten schedule, I don't know how many opportunities they're going to have to just score, to go against just putrid defenses.
I'm looking down the schedule right now. You could potentially see it maybe against Purdue. We don't know what their defense is going to look like. I'm still, and I know that it puts me in the vast, vast minority on this. Phil Longo has never coordinated an offense that was joined by a very good scoring defense. So I think even Wisconsin is going to give up a lot more points next year.
Yeah, and by the way, thank you, Tate. I think I said Brian was the brother of Kurt. He's the son of Kurt.
Oh, okay.
I know that. I just misspoke. But thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, Purdue is one of those that I said, okay, maybe you can there.
Rutgers at Nebraska, perhaps at the end. You want to talk about adding a new layer? I can't wait to come on here on Friday. I'm sure that game's going to kick off at noon.
You're talking about Nebraska?
Yes.
See, you're reading my mind. This is exactly where I was going with this.
They're averaging 24.6 a game, and we get that game live during our show the day after Thanksgiving.
And we're going to do the math where we're going to say they've got to score 37 points in order to bring their average up. And it's at Nebraska. And I can picture it now. Nebraska's down 3 touchdowns, but they can hold them out of the end zone right here to fire the OC of the opponent.
It's a new way to basically watch the game like you're gambling on the game.
Yeah.
But you're just looking for benchmarks here.
Just to put something that specific in a contract adds so much intrigue now to Iowa. You and I know you especially, you're going to be tracking the scoring percentage of Iowa all season long. Is he above the line or below the line?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Now, they will win 7 games. They will win 7 games because they always finish with a winning record. The last time they finished with a losing record was 2012. They also, lest we forget, they got a couple of transfers that are going to help them with regards to the offense and with regards to the quarterback position. And, they got the kid from Michigan. We know that. McNamara, I think. Is who they got from Michigan. Let me see. I think they got 2 kids in the portal that were pretty doggone good. Let me see.
Cade McNamara
was one, and I thought there was another one that they got. Deacon Hill, who was a backup at Wisconsin. So they have 2 guys there that I mean, I guess presumably would have an opportunity to help them. I don't know if they actually will, but maybe they get better quarterback play here. We should also know in this particular instance, there are anti-nepotism rules in the state of Iowa. So here's what had to happen on this contract. I don't know if people really know this. Kirk Ferentz is not Brian Ferentz's boss. By rule in Iowa, that can't happen. So the offensive coordinator of Iowa's football team reports directly to the athletic director. Like Kirk Ferentz, here's what's crazy. Kirk Ferentz actually can't fire his son because he doesn't work for Kirk Ferentz. He works for the AD. Now, it's an open question whether the AD is going to fire the son of the football coach he is also going to retain. That makes it quite a tangled web. But that adds a different layer to this, that none of this contractual stuff is really... I mean, Kirk Ferentz is obviously involved in this. They're not doing this with Kirk abstaining from the conversation. But Kirk Ferentz is not Brian Ferentz's boss. This is coming directly from Gary Barta, the athletic director at Iowa.
Listen, if you have to circumvent the rules to that extent, maybe there's your problem right there.
And you know what? Can I... You know what? I'm going to stay...
There it is.
I'm going to stand. He's standing,
people.
I'm going to stand on this.
He's standing.
Here's what I just want, and I just want to say it to everybody, okay? I just want to say it to everybody. Have you seen the show Succession?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Okay. Somewhat.
Okay, great show. Love it.
Enough to be dangerous.
Love it. It is a show basically about this media mogul whose kids are all train wrecks in one way or another, and he's trying to decide how to pass on his company. And basically, he just... I think where we are now is he's not going to pass it on. I have to, it oscillates episode to episode. Who you think's going to get it and the strengths and weaknesses of all the kids. My point bringing that up is, if you're going to have a culture of nepotism, how about be good at the thing your nepotism is about? Why would you waste your nepotism token on the 123rd best offense in America? Why in the world would you hire your son to coordinate that disaster? I got to be honest, man. If I'm going to use my chip, if I'm going all in on something, if I'm going to use my chips, the surplus that I have on something like this, I am going to use it on a good offensive system. And I'm going to insist on a good offensive system, because here's the deal with Iowa right now. This is such an awkward situation, because you have a dad who is basically put in the awkward spot of either defending his son or lighting his son on fire in front of God and man. That's what you've done, and you've done it to yourself. If my kid, God bless him, if I'm lucky enough to have a kid, if I have a kid that works for me one day, I promise you this, and I will raise my hand, and I'm putting my hand on the imaginary Bible in front of God and all these witnesses, I do solemnly swear that kid will not suck at that job. Period. You're going to be good at it, or you're not doing it, because I'm not going to answer questions about that every single press conference. I ain't doing that. I'm not going to put you in somebody else's charge. I ain't doing it. You're going to be good at that job. It is legitimately offensive how bad Brian Ferentz is at that job. And every day, let me just say this, every single day, Kirk Ferentz wakes up and he's ashamed of his son. Every day. You can't be that bad at the job that I stick my neck out every single day. And every time I go to the podium, I got to answer questions about why you're so bad at this. Stop hiring your most terrible kids for these jobs. Just don't do it. I'm not doing it. Ben's not doing it. Out of Bounds is not doing it. We're not hiring the suckiest kid for the job.
Yeah, to be fair, you didn't know he sucked. He did work for the Patriots for 4 seasons before he came back to Iowa. Brian, that is.
Yes.
I mean, there was reason to believe that he wasn't going to stink as bad as he has. That was a mistake. And now you find yourself in this situation. A texter said, where'd it go? Said Jeff Bowden reported to the FSU AD. Same situation. I'll take your word for it.
That makes sense.
And then, can I give you a candidate for text of the day on the Adams & Co. roofing text line?
Oh, for sure.
Where'd it go? Texter says, Dabo Sweeney got his son, Will Muschamp, fired. Oh, that's so well done. All right, we'll take a break on that one.
Oh, my God. I tell you what, when we come back, we'll take a phone call or two. We still got to play that Valerie Cagle audio this hour as well. Hour two of the program continues next.
Buying a new or pre-owned vehicle can be a challenging task. The George Coleman Ford team strives to change that. Perhaps that's why their online reviews and multiple Ford President's Awards speak volumes. And with new inventory arriving monthly, you can find the vehicle you've been looking for or have George Coleman Ford order one for you. Never any hidden fees or phantom charges at George Coleman Ford. Plain and simple, old-fashioned, honest business. The best is found in Traveler's Rest. George Coleman Ford.
It's moving day, and Tiger Moving Company is here to help. Skip the headache. Hire the professionals with the right tools for your move. Their clean-cut and reliable team pack and assemble furniture seamlessly, so all you have to do is make yourself at home. To top this all off, they even start and stop the clock at your house, charging you a flat hourly rate. No rounding up. Call today at 908-9028 or email tigermoving@gmail.com to make your next move with Tiger Moving Company.
If you are looking for first-class service, consider First Class Halt. Here at First Class Halt, our technicians are not paid by commission. All this does is promote unnecessary repairs and dollars being spent by you. We pride ourselves on being honest. We will never sell you a service that doesn't need to be done, and no surprises. All prices must be approved by you before work is done. Come see what First Class service really means. First Class Halt, located in Anderson and Greenville.
Valentine's Day is upon us, and you know, your team at Reed's Jewelers will make sure you find what you want for your loved one. From diamonds for her to watches for him, Reed's Jewelers, upstairs in Haywood Mall, next to Belk. Endorsed by Roar listeners like Zeke.
I'm calling in for one of your sponsors, man, Wally over there at Reed's Jewelers. Go check him out. They'll get you what you need. If not, he'll find it, and he will definitely take care of you.
Zeke loves Reed's Jewelers. You will as well. Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall, next to Belk. Online at Reed's.com.
Needing to rent a mini excavator like a Bobcat E32, a skid steer, or wood chipper? Or maybe a smaller tool like a pressure washer, jackhammer, or compactor? McNeely Store and Rental has got you covered. Clemson alumni-owned, renting equipment and selling materials for more than 30 years. We also sell septic materials, ADS drainage products, concrete boxes, real stone veneers, and more. With two upstate South Carolina locations in Clemson and West Union, McNeelyStoreAndRental.com. Or call Matt for a quote today, 828-553-4338.
East Main Furniture in Easley. Clearance sale is going on now. Everything in stock is highly discounted for great savings. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brands like Lazy Boy, England, Best, Ashley, Catnapper, and Liberty Furniture. All at discounted prices. Hurry in for the best selection. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street in Easley. Or call 864-442-6054 today.
Why should you buy a mattress from Mattress Max Furniture? Well, we offer a simple process, helpful expertise, old-fashioned full-service delivery, and the best sale prices every day. And we've got all the best brands in one location for you to try out in person, like Paramount Heavy Duty Mattresses, starting at just $10.99. We also carry Sealy, Posturepedic, and Stearns & Foster. So don't buy sight unseen. See it in person at Mattress Max Furniture. Online at MattressMaxFurniture.com. Mattress Max Furniture
will save you money.
Today on Hey Culligan, smooth skin and soft hair comes from where? Here's Mike.
Hey Culligan, I've tried every conditioner, lotion, and body wash known to man, and my skin still feels like sandpaper.
It could be your water, Mike.
Oh, that's harsh.
More like hard water. Are you interested in smart, high-efficiency water softeners from Culligan Water?
Huh?
Want baby smooth skin and soft, luxurious hair?
Yeah, can you hurry? I have a date tonight.
We're already on the way, Mike. Let us help you out with the free in-home water test from a local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Check out the Mickey Plyler Show each weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. here on The Roar. Mickey and company get your day started with scores, interviews, and all the news from the day before. Mickey breaks down all things college football, golf, and everything else in the sports world. Check it out each morning on 105.5 and 97.5 FM. Or tune in on our app or website, theroarfm.com. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HD TV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Your sports, your hosts, your station.
Second touchdown of the night. Got a little crease in between the tackles. Boy, does this kid look good.
105.5, 97.5. We're The Roar, baby.
Quack, I hear that. And for some reason, I'm picturing them dragging the infield, getting it ready for play, either softball or baseball.
Oh,
I don't know,
man.
Why. Can you kind of hear that playing over the loudspeakers right there?
Yes, I can. Well, now you're just taking me to my happy place.
I know. You're out there like spraying the mound down, wetting it down.
Don't even.
Couple more weeks.
We're 2 days away from the start of softball, and we are 10 days away from the home opener for Clemson softball and the season opener for Clemson baseball. And, of course, we'll have the baseball coverage for you right here.
Let's go.
One other thing before we get to Victor's phone call. I want to be clear on this. You know, this is not all on Kirk Ferentz. I feel like I was really hard on Kirk not to hire your terrible kids.
That makes it so much better.
Right? Just don't hire your
terrible kids.
Here's what I would say, though, and this is my actual life experience. Like, I've worked for my dad before, okay? And I'm a people pleaser, okay? And my dad's a pastor, and I worked for him as a youth guy and a worship leader. Like, I've done some stuff, okay? You can't be bad at those jobs. Because ultimately, you have to, like, sit across from your dad in business meetings and in staff meetings. You have to, like, he has to hold you accountable as an employee and as a son. So I would say, just as much as Kirk Ferentz, stop hiring your terrible son. Stop being the terrible son, Brian. Be better at your job. Learn offense. Some of it probably is Kirk doesn't want to modernize all that much. They're probably fine with, you know, run the ball, turn you over on defense. I mean, it's worked for him. But that, like, there have been times, I'll be honest, there have been times when I was offense was quite fun. Remember when they had Noah Fant and TJ Hawkinson, the two tight ends? They had the two best tight ends in America. That was like 5 years ago. It was not that long ago. Both those guys are playing the NFL. It's possible that Iowa could have a good offense again. But Brian Ferentz just has to stop failing his dad. Let's go to Victor, who's up with us next on the phone. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Victor?
Hey, Quok, listen, man, you guys get me laughing almost every day. So, quick question. How long has it been since Kelly left the show? Is it a year now?
It's been like 10 months.
Yeah, it was Easter of this past year.
Okay, well, so here's the thing. See, I think that Kelly had this calming effect on Quok. I think that, like, a balance of estrogen and testosterone in the room kind of had this calming effect. But, you know, you guys are both, you know, sports guys, manly men. I think sometimes that the specific gravity of testosterone in that room gets so high that, you know, Quok just has to explode into a, you know, super aggressive stand up and yell type format. So it makes me laugh. I saw Kelly on TV the other day, by the way, and of course she was doing a great job. But that's just my thoughts on that, because I don't remember, because I've been listening for a few years now, and I just don't remember these, you know, stand up and rant outbursts at an aggressive of a level as we have these days. And so it's not that they're not fun. That's just my observation on what I see or hear going on. Not see, but hear. So anyway.
It doesn't hurt that I'm egging it on.
That's
either.
True. That's true. Ben is a willing co-conspirator here. And Kelly would.
I mean, know that.
There were times when Kelly would legitimately, like, turn her mic off and just be like, she would be mouthing to me to chill out. That's stuff that people, not every day, not all the time, but there were times where she would, like, turn her mic off and be like, she would give the Michael Scott look across the table to Toby. if you get that reference from The Office, it would be like that, like the I'll kill you if you don't simmer down.
See, you guys have forgotten more about the whole details and all that of sports than I've ever known. But in my life experience, I know exactly what's going on, and I can see her doing that. And how come I knew that? You know what? Because I'm an old guy now. That's why. But anyway, listen, it's fun. You guys are always really great to listen to. I appreciate it. And just have a great day and keep doing a great show, man. You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much, Victor. Appreciate the kind words. Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, definitely. Kelly is doing a great job on TV, and it makes me so happy, Kwok, for when I see her on TV right now, for two reasons. One, that she came from us. Like, I'm proud of that.
Yes.
The other is that if you haven't seen Kelly is great with child.
She is great with child.
And yes. I love that. I'm so happy for them.
She and Sam Ravitch did the Clemson Wake Forest game Sunday.
I got to
talk to them at shoot around a little bit. She's doing great.
That's awesome.
Speaking of women killing it, do you want to do this? I think this would be a good time to do the Valerie Cagle audio. So I sat down after the orange and purple scrimmage with three Clemson softball players. We're giving you one today, one tomorrow, and one Thursday. First up is someone who, to my knowledge, did not do media in preseason. She doesn't love doing media, and we kind of talked about off the air, like, why that is, and I really appreciate her time. Valerie Cagle was very, for a shy person, she was very open and honest in our conversation. I think people will really enjoy this. Take a listen. All right, Valerie, first things first, thank you for doing this. Welcome. How are things going?
Things are going great. We're just, finishing up last-minute preparations for our games this week and just really ready to, see what we can do as a team together on the field and just play someone different.
I know that I want to talk about last year a little bit because I know that you dealt with some different stuff last year than you did maybe the year before. You not catch people off guard, maybe being pitched a little bit differently. What did you learn about yourself last year that maybe gave you a little different perspective as you attacked your rehab and your preparation for this season in the off season?
I think the biggest thing I took away from last year was just that I didn't have to be at 100% to still get people out. Really trust myself with hitting spots and making the ball, change speed and move. I don't have to be at 100%. And then the other thing is just we have a great pitching staff behind me. We're a staff. It's not just me and it's me, Millie, Reagan, Brooke, it's all of us. And so just being able to really trust all of them, too, to know that they have my back, I would say those are the two big things that I really took away from last year.
Let's talk about the staff then, because obviously you're at the top. You're going to be the top of the scout for everybody. But you return everybody who pitched a lot of innings last year. What's different about this group heading into this season that maybe you guys didn't have going into last season?
I think the biggest thing is just that everyone, all four quarter of us got that experience last year. And so, Brooke came in as a true freshman and got some really good quality innings. And, that's able to give her confidence and just, that experience going in. Millie and Reagan got more experience. And, same thing for me even. And that experience really does a lot for you. It gives you that confidence and you know that you've been in the situation before and you can get out of the situation. And so I think that's just the biggest thing is it's just a lot more experience than what we had going into last year.
Is there a point of growth in the circle that you've had this off season that maybe is more than others or greater than others in terms of your ability to progress either mentally, physically, or what have you?
I really worked on off-speed pitches in the off-season for sure, trying to just dial them, change up, and really focus on that. So that was the biggest thing that I would say I probably worked on in the off-season.
Is that a movement thing, velocity, difference? Like, what are you specifically honing in on with that?
For me, it's always been a velocity issue. My changeup's always been too hard compared to my fastball. So really just trying to get that to slow down while also still having that down movement that'll fall off the table.
All right, let's go in the batter's box for a second because you also had a good year last year at the plate. Obviously, a lot expected. Where would you say you are at the plate right now, maybe relative to this time last year?
I definitely think right now the biggest thing is just getting comfortable and getting in, kind of a routine. Just feeling smooth with my swing is the biggest thing I'm working on. But I've definitely worked in the offseason of being a bit more selective with my pitches and really just being okay with taking those walks if, that's what's given to me. So I would say that's the biggest difference from last year is just being okay with taking those walks.
When you talk about the patience at the plate, when you talk about trusting the staff behind you,
I wonder if there's a difference maybe after that freshman year. Maybe there's a little pressure on you and maybe you feel that versus maybe releasing some of that. Is that a fair way to characterize maybe how you're approaching this year as compared to maybe last one?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, my big thing is always I don't care too much about that outside pressure. But it's always the pressure that I put on myself because I know what I'm capable of, or I really want to, you know, accomplish something, or really want us to do something as a team. And so that's where that pressure comes for me. But I would definitely say this year, I've really found that almost like that free feeling of just going out and playing and actually just enjoying what I'm doing and having fun. So there's definitely a difference there. And, you know, not being ACC Player of the Year last year and all this stuff doesn't hurt. You know, kind of going into the season and being like, yeah, like people know me, but I'm not all this stuff. Definitely doesn't have that added pressure, but I definitely think I've just been able to find that feeling of trusting people around me and just being able to find that freedom that just allows me to kind of have fun and just play my game.
This is a team with a lot of neat personalities on it, and you're very quiet. I know you don't do a lot of interviews like this because you're very quiet. You like to sit in the background. How much easier is it to just kind of be yourself when you know that there are other personalities and prominent players who will step to the forefront and things like that?
I mean, I think the, like, you know, one thing that we really focus on with this team is just letting people, you know, kind of do what they do. You know, Millie and I even, we went to the same pitching coach in high school, and you would never know because we're so different, but like it works so well. So I think just knowing that maybe on the leadership side, I'm not super vocal, but, you know, maybe someone like Reedy is a little more vocal. And so just being able to play to, I know what my strengths are, you know what your strengths are. We don't have to have the same strengths, and that's okay. And just kind of building off of that and trusting each other through that process.
I've already asked your coach this. I'm going to ask your teammates this a little bit later, but is there a unique quality to this team or a characteristic, a way that you guys are going to play that's different from last year that people are going to notice when they come to the ballpark?
I mean, I think every team is, you know, definitely unique from each other. But I think we're still trying to figure that out a little bit just with, you know, the leadership that we did lose last year. You know, people that are, you know, in my class are having to step up a little bit more. And so I think as the tournaments and, you know, like preseason kind of unfolds is when we're really going to figure out what that different quality is.
Visiting with Valerie Cagle here on a beautiful Saturday here in Clemson. A couple more for you, and then I'll let you go. First thing, your coach, John Rittman, was not at all shy when I asked him about expectations. He said you want to take the next step. That means getting to Oklahoma City. I asked him if that also meant maybe hosting a Super Regional. He was like, yeah, I mean, probably. What sort of expectations are you guys setting for yourselves as a group from that standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think, you know, hosting a Super would be super awesome, having the fans here. I mean, you know, you were here last year for the Regional, and that was a lot of fun. And so being able to, you know, have that environment for an even bigger stage would just be awesome. And, of course, everyone's goal is always to make Oklahoma City. But I think the one thing that I really want to focus on as a team is just, you know, the process of getting there. I feel like so often you just think about the end result that you want and forget we have a 50-something, 60-something game season, and that's a grind. So we really just have to take it one game at a time, really trust that process. And you're going to have weekends that are off weekends, and you're gonna be like, well, there's no way. And you're going to have weekends that are great, and you're going to think nothing can stop us. So just really, you know, trying to stay a little more even and not, you know, so much of the highs and lows, and just really trusting that process to get to the end result that we want.
I love that, but I'm going to ask you about some highs, okay? Because everybody sets some sort of goal for themselves. Yours might be collective goals or individual. Are there individual goals on the table for you that you want to hit this year?
You know, I am someone who usually sets very big goals, and I usually at the beginning of the season sit down and write down all my goals. And, you know, I have process goals, and I have outcome goals and performance goals, and this year, I just really wanted to take a step back, and I have two goals, and I don't want to overthink, and I want to have fun. And that's it. So there's so many numbers that I would love to hit, but I don't, as much as possible, I would like to not know my stats this year. I would like to not know different things, because that way I can just keep it super simple, just not overthink things, and just enjoy the game.
That's like, you're basically putting blinders on every game, right? You don't want to focus on any of that other stuff. That's awesome. That's a little bit of like, I mean, I'm 33, and I don't think I'm that mature. So that's a little bit of maturity, right, of learning from maybe past mistakes, putting pressure on yourself. So that's got to feel good that you're able to apply that. And, you know, at least on paper, you're able to kind of say those things about yourself.
Right. I mean, I definitely think, you know, we'll see how it goes. And, you know, some games are going to be better than others. But just really trying to take that step back of, you know, I've had years in the past where I set all these goals, and it's not that that hasn't worked. But for me, what I feel like I need this year is just to keep it as simple as possible.
All right, last one. give me one thing that you did in the off season, like in the summer or preseason or something, that was just awesome.
So my brother actually got married.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations to him.
So, that was a lot of fun, and I absolutely love my new sister-in-law. So that was definitely an exciting thing for the family, the first kid to get married. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Sweet. So it's a family wedding. Like, are you a dance floor person? Are you sitting in the background? I think I know the answer, but just
definitely
I wanna...
sit in the background and not come anywhere near the dance floor.
So like nothing.
No.
Not electric slide. Mm-hmm. You got nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Okay, good stuff. Well, I know that you enjoy all the attention being on you in the circle and in the batter's box. So that's the right kind of attention, right?
Yeah, you know, some days I don't enjoy that attention either, but we do what we do. So
awesome, Valerie. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the time. Best of luck this season. I'm going to enjoy watching you.
Thank you for having me.
Valerie Cagle's awesome. What an engaging conversation. We'll say more about that on the other side. I do want to tell you about our friends at The Plumbing Experts. If you go to theplumbingexperts.com, you'll see the vast array of services that they can provide you, and they are vast. I mean, it's a lot. A lot of those services, as we talk about all the time, they are reactive services. That's primarily what people think of plumbers for. You're fixing pipes, you're fixing leaks, you're fixing clogs, you're fixing drains, you're fixing septic tank issues, whatever the case may be. Well, I love that the Plumbing Experts want to get proactive, and they want to come out and check your septic tank every 3 to 5 years, put you on a regular maintenance plan. They'll come out, they will look at every single square inch of that septic tank, and they will clear it. And then they'll put you on a regular schedule where they'll come out and you don't have to think about it. They'll just show up, look at it, make sure everything's working well. That way you don't have to worry about it after some disaster has struck. That's why we love the Plumbing Experts. Go to theplumbingexperts.com. One more time, that's theplumbingexperts.com. They won't let you down. Hour two continues. We'll say more about the Valerie Cagle interview. We'll go back to the phones right after this.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. Whether it's our famous glazed or one of our specialty donuts, we have something for everyone at work or at home. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Since 1917, Harbin Lumber Company has been a top lumber and building supplier in the industry. Their number one asset is their employees, people who are dedicated to providing quality building products and contractor services. People just like you, working to grow and be a part of the community. From construction projects to large remodeling jobs, see the hardworking folks people have entrusted for nearly 100 years. Harbin Lumber Company, serving South Carolina, Georgia, and North Carolina, and online at harbinlumber.com.
Seneca's Half Marathon and 5K is coming your way March the 11th. You still got plenty of time to go ahead and start training if you'd like to do your first half marathon. It's going to be available for you March 11th, 2023, as we celebrate our sesquicentennial celebration all year long. It's called Race for the Green, and that means cash prizes in the overall half marathon, male and female, and half marathon masters division, along with the 5K overall, male and female. Sign up today at runsignup.com. And like always, we've got great swag to give away. A beautiful beach towel this year, a trucker's hat, and sesquicentennial finisher's medals in the half marathon and 5K, along with some great-looking medals for the Kids 12 and Under Fun Run. Now, the Fun Run's basically a sprint. If you want to know more information, you can check our website at www.seneca.sc.us or Seneca SC Events on Facebook. It's Seneca's Race for the Green, March the 11th. Sign up today at runsignup.com.
Mix and match two for $5 scratch-made biscuits at Bojangles. It's bow time.
Standing water or that musty smell in your basement can be a sign of major problems. Canty Foundation Specialists are your local experts in basement waterproofing and crawlspace repair. Call us today for a free estimate.
Canty can fix it.
Call the local experts for a free estimate. Call Canty Foundation Specialist at 864-403-5263 and ask about transferable warranties and available financing. That's 864-403-5263 or online at cantycanfixit.com.
It's a new year, and I've got one piece of advice for you. If you're still belly aching about being fat, being tired, and not performing when it counts, you need to get up off that couch and book an appointment at Low Country Male today. TRT plans start at $220 a month and include testosterone, labs, medication, and doctor visits. We offer weight loss plans, peptide plans, and IV therapy. Stop making excuses and take action. Lord knows the world doesn't need any more beta males. Make men men again. LowcountryMail.com.
I'm Eddie Bennett. Bennett Equipment has helped build the upstate for the last 23 years by renting and selling construction equipment. And when it comes to compact equipment, the best in the industry is Takeuchi. The lineup of track skid steer loaders, excavators, wheel loaders, and hundreds of attachments make the choice easy. So come and see why so many choose to buy it or rent it from Bennett and experience the Takeuchi difference in the upstate, western North Carolina, and North Georgia.
My Garage by Essex is proud to service the Clemson area with excellent service on all makes and models. They are professionals that perform high-quality workmanship with high-quality parts. With life being uncertain, you know you can be certain of My Garage by Essex, taking care of you and your family. Stop in to see them at 551 Old Greenville Highway, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., or call 864-633-5800.
The undisputed sports talk leader for the upstate.
Let's go now, you fired him!
We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Thanks once again to Valerie Cagle for joining us. Hour two continues on the program. Really insightful. She, you know, it wasn't like a weepy Bryant Gumbel interview, but she got really reflective across the table from me. And when I asked her about goals, and she, because I know one thing I know about her very well is that she is incredibly driven, and she is someone who puts a lot of pressure on herself. And she basically came out and said that when she told me the two goals that she has for herself were basically don't overthink and have fun, that the amount of maturity that takes to lean away from your bent and into sort of just live in the moment. Like, I know I'm good enough. I know I'm doing the work. I know the results are going to come, but I'm not going to stress about it, and I'm not going to overthink it. I think that sets her up for a great junior season.
Yeah, caller, stay with us because I want to get back to what we were talking about there. But on Valerie real quick, you know, just looking there at, during the interview at her accolades so far, and you just referred to her as going into finishing her sophomore year. Feels like she's been here forever.
She has.
And that, you know, because in 2020, you just scratched that season altogether. I mean, they're not, that was the COVID year. So they didn't give out postseason awards per se. There was no freshman of the year or anything like that year. She would have won it that year.
Oh, yes. She was off to a blazing start.
And so 2021 is what they're calling her freshman year. She's ACC freshman of the year, ACC player of the year, second team All-American. I mean, it goes on and on. Last year, first team All-American, first team All-ACC. I bring that up to say this. It also caught my attention that she talked about having fun. When you've had so much success like she's had in a brand new program where so much attention is on you, I would imagine there were times that you let the pressure get to you a little bit last year. I mean, you're living in your own shadow trying to outdo yourself.
Two things about her. One, her numbers and her level of effectiveness, I would say, were slightly down across the board last year. And I think it goes to your point. She was well scouted after a year. They also played a lot of tough games. Like, they played a better schedule last year, too.
Much better.
So she was being tested more frequently. She talked about creating more distance and velocity between her fastball and her changeup. I think that makes her changeup a more usable pitch in different counts. And then at the plate, she was swinging out of her shoes a lot, and especially on pitches down and away. and down and off the plate away. And I think she, whereas in what was her second year, but her technical freshman season, she was content to take walks. I do think some of that internal pressure caused her to overswing and to be overly aggressive at the plate. I think we will see a reversion to the freshman year Valerie Cagle this year at the plate. And I think that'll be the biggest difference.
Yeah, and I expected to have a solid season at the plate. But in the circle, you know, the fact that she's not the only pitcher now that you have and others coming on strong, maybe will ease the pressure. She probably had pressure on herself that she didn't realize that she had.
I think that's a good way to put it.
So Millie pitching well and others, that should set up good for Valerie to have a good season.
I can also tell you this, that there were a lot of, like, aches and pains and bumps and bruises and a couple things that required surgery in that whole pitching staff last year. They were not 100% at the end of the year. They will be 100% to start this season in 2 days. Let's go to Bruce and Inman, who's up with us next and patiently waited through the break. What's up, Bruce?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling about the Kurt Ferentz and his son Brian coaching thing.
Sure.
My brother Liz and I was an Iowa State fan, big Iowa State fan. And Sunday morning, I think it was, or either yesterday morning, he sent me a link to an article in the local newspaper about that contract. And if I remember it right from that contract, that if he gets to the 7-5 and the average of 25 points like y'all brought up, that his contract will be renewed for 2024. And he'll receive an increase in 2024 for making those modest goals. And if he makes them in 2023, at the end of the season, before they renew the contract, they're going to pay him a $112,000 bonus, even though they cut his salary this year. So that's kind of a sweetheart deal.
Wow. So let me just follow up on that. I think I'm right in saying his salary reduced by $50,000. So basically,
yes,
if he finishes in the top two-thirds of major college football in scoring and they win 7 games, which would be a minimal standard at Iowa, he would then get paid more than he was paid this year.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
By $60,000. And then the local writer covers Iowa football. And he brought up kind of the same two things that y'all were talking about how getting to 7 wins is easy for Iowa. Kirk Ferentz's lifetime record as Iowa is like 7-5 per season. So that's pretty easy. And since they get to count defensive touchdowns, then the 25 points a game is going to be relatively easy too, because they only lose one experienced guy, I think, in the secondary. And otherwise, they all come back, and that's pick sixes is where they get it from. And this article, the writer indicated that there's speculation that even if he is fired from the offensive coaching job, he'll still retain a job in the Iowa football or athletic department someplace. He just won't be the offensive coordinator coach anymore. So, needless to say, that reporter wasn't too happy with the context of the contract either.
Wow, I would say not, and I don't blame him. I really don't, Bruce. That's awesome insight. I really appreciate calling. Sure, go ahead.
Can I ask one question about women's softball?
Sure, go ahead.
I know it's hard at the beginning of the year with baseball and basketball, but are you going to broadcast some games later or during the season for women's softball? Do you know yet?
I don't know yet. I don't believe we're going to be doing any regular season. In fact, the latest information I have, I think they're going to try to do what they did last year and put the postseason games, regional, super regional, on radio. And other than that, I don't think there's any plans to do that right now.
Well, like to see some regular season games on there when they don't conflict with the men's baseball program.
I, Listen, I don't blame you. And as somebody who'd probably be in the mix to do some of those, I would be okay with that.
Well, put me on the list for that then.
All right, will do. Thanks very much, Bruce. Appreciate the phone call.
Let me just speak to that real quick. Thank you for the call, Bruce, by the way.
Yes.
First and foremost, you know, the university has a huge say in what goes on radio and doesn't. And it's not in any way that they don't want it on radio. It's just from a scheduling standpoint, it's terribly difficult because of the time of their games. And so many of them conflict, excuse me, with baseball. The other thing is for a station for us locally, softball sold me last year. Went to the regionals. I loved it. You were there. You saw me, man. I was a kid in a candy store, man. That was as good of an environment as I've been in. I am a huge fan. But if we're not careful, we cut into our local programming and this show and Walt's show in particular, and I don't want that either.
Right.
You know, like a baseball game once a week is fine, but then you start adding in softball too. Well, all of a sudden, you're just carrying live sports and you're not a local sports talk show anymore. So there's a balancing act that we have to do as well. And, you know, first and foremost, we are a sports talk station with local sports talk and something we take great pride in. Nobody else does the number of hours that we do. And, you know, we have a strong affiliation with Clemson, yes, but first and foremost, we're sports talk radio, sports in general.
That's right.
And that is who we are. We're not, so I don't want to get away from at our core of what we are.
Just before we get to the top of the hour, and I know old school, if you'll hang on just a second, because I want to give you enough time, but also I want to speak to this too. There's also expense. You know, well, let me start with this. The calendar, there are more conflicts than you would imagine. Because of the amount of time you're on air before and after baseball games, there are more crossover conflicts. During crossover season that we're about to get into, where like we have men's basketball and women's basketball and baseball, adding a fourth sport into the rotation just for a few weeks would be madness. Now, I know that's not what people are specifically asking, but that does reduce the number of games you could put on. And then on top of that, like I said, there aren't that many games that wouldn't conflict because softball's playing a lot of Tuesday, Wednesday as well, like baseball, and they're playing every weekend. And so outside of a rainout, you know, situation, if baseball took precedent, which we could have a conversation about that, but if baseball took precedent over softball, softball would be an online-only sport, basically. Which, if you're going to stream it online on ClemsonTigers.com, you may as well stream it online on Watch ESPN. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that ultimately is, and, you know, travel for road games, university has to pay for that. So that's added expenses of taking us on the road and stuff.
Here's what I do. I don't mind telling you, when softball's on, especially in the afternoon, I've got Walt on the radio in my office, and I've got softball on my computer where I can, you know, I turn it up when I need to hear what's going on. But you can watch it without the sound.
And that's right.
Figure it out.
As somebody who does those games, I agree with you.
I do that a lot.
Yeah, I'm not that important. Scott Whitlock is a treasure, a national treasure.
Yes, he is.
But I'm not that important. We're not that big of a deal.
I mean, I'd love to hear. I'd prefer to hear you doing this show myself. But just me.
Oh, yes. It's a great question. It is a question that we get a lot off air. Like, I've gotten that question probably a handful of times in the last month. Just out and about places, people asking if we're going to do softball. So it is a good thing to address on air, I think.
Quickly, just generally speaking, would you say that the popularity of softball has caught everybody off guard?
Yes.
Yeah, I think the university is totally caught off guard by the support, as are we.
Yes.
Because this is not the way it is nationally.
Well, here's the thing. I knew that people would enjoy it, but I wasn't sure they would have the immediate success to draw this passionate of a following. And now it's the toughest ticket in Clemson to get, period. End of discussion. The toughest ticket to get is one in McWhorter. the secondary market for those is outrageous, especially for conference weekends. Hour two is done. Hour three, much more nonsense next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens.